Good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, we are top of the league. So yeah, I can do it again. Of course I can do that again. Of course I can do that again.
Help. Please.
Listen, loads to discuss this weekend. Thank you for bearing with us, YouTubers. Podcasters won't know what's hit them because it'll be seamless to the podcasters. Absolutely
no,
seamless.
No, it won't, because they'll be wondering what on earth's gone on.
Well,
this introduction, imagine you don't hear that beginning bit.
Yeah.
And the first thing you hear is that craziness with me just being like, oh, we better explain that we had some mic issues. We've cut them out, podcasters.
You haven't got to listen to the microphone issues. YouTubers, because most of you have been here for a long time and you've followed us for quite a while, you will know that it wouldn't be. We haven't had a technical issue for a while, to be fair.
But do you know why?
But here we are.
There's probably a button you've not clicked. You know, like sometimes we have to change
Could
it
be.
Up. Sometimes Could we have be. To. Sometimes OBS just plays up a little bit. You have to close it down and set it back up again, and then it works. We've had that before.
I'll tell you what the problem is.
What?
Az is hearing in the chat. That technical issues follow Block that
him.
Lad around.
Block that man.
They follow that lad around, technical issues. That's why we're having trouble. he's come straight in with a super chat, Sam. You're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. I'm just saying. Super chat. And we have to read the super chats out because they're super chats.
Right. What's
super chat from Mr. Az Phillips. Don't know this guy.
Who's
Az
this
Phillips.
Weirdo? Guy in? Where's the mods?
Az Phillips, he's just gone, seagulls. That's all I'm going to say. Can't say any more than that.
Do you know what the worst thing about today was?
Go on.
The worst thing about today.
Yes.
Is that 6:30 in the morning, I've got to get on a podcast with Az.
Oh, I tell you what.
Who wants it? First of all, who wants to get on a podcast at 6:30 in the morning, full stop?
Az doesn't. I tell you that much. You're making him. In case you guys haven't heard, because I did put it on, certainly put it in the Slack for the patrons earlier, and I did put it in the chat earlier on here. You are going to want to listen to the Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League this week, tomorrow, because it is you and Az doing it. You and Az.
Do you want to sit in?
I'm happy to sit in, but I think it would be much better content, frankly, for you and Az to cover it.
Az, while I'm doing this, can you make the pod notes? I've started. Go on, make yourself busy.
Get on with it, Az. Stop super chatting. Nigel the Crab, thank you for the super chat. Nigel the Crab, you've got to stop super chatting. You don't need to super chat because you're already a bloody member, mate. But thank you anyway. Spurs let me down. I had 3-3 on my predictions. By the way, have you ever known anyone to finish on a minus 20 before in a game week? Well, I did this week. So
wait, no, stop.
To finish on a minus 20, Simon, is quite insane. It's quite insane.
How many points hits did you have to take to finish on minus 20?
That's kind of silly.
Because there's not been like red cards or anything like that.
It's kind of silly for that to have happened.
Why do you keep turning the mic away from me?
Well, because I need the mic to be as in the middle as possible. The lesson from this evening is let's test the equipment before we get
onto the live stream. But the problem is that it's pointing the wrong way. And these mics are so... It's better to be like that.
Okay, you have it pointing at you and I'll just shout.
It's not pointing at me. It's now pointing in the middle of the pair of us.
Right, okay.
Because they'll all say they can't hear me otherwise.
Okay, good. AB, good evening. He or she says, evening, lads and ladies. Good evening.
Good evening.
Henning is in. Nice to see you. Azzy is here, the Smiths 1986. How did you end on minus 20, he says.
I think we need an explanation on this side, please, in
good
the chat.
Question. George is in. He's saying, you both sound great. Well, thanks, mate. We do now that we've sorted we've just... bodged the microphones. I don't know what happened there. Just we've had some echo issues. So at least my microphone is now in the bin, and we're just going with your mic.
Have you literally put it in the bin? Because
no,
there is a bin down there.
It's just done it. let's see. These mics are a lot better the closer to him. D Jenkins, you're absolutely
right.
We
know that. That's why we have two.
That's why we have two. And usually it sounds great. But this evening you're just going to have to make do with me speaking a little bit louder and the microphone being a bit closer to Sam. Wilco is in. Hello, Wilco. Very nice to see you. He says, Jota for the Ballon d'Or. Yes, Wilco.
For God's sake.
Yes, Wilco. For those of you that held on to Diogo Jota, you will know, and if you've been here for a while with us at FPL Family, you will know that I think that player is due a Ballon d'Or at some stage. What a player coming back to the fore. All you people, all you haters, all that you sold in the last couple of weeks, have that. Ballon d'Or, Diogo Jota. Love it. And George just says, stop it, Wilco.
I understand the love of Diogo Jota, but Ballon d'Or is excessive.
Ah, come on, Diogo. Definitely Ballon d'Or. Danny McDonald is in. Hey, Danny, nice to see you, mate. Lalex is here.
Send help.
Lalex says, did you forget to press the wildcard button, Simon? Perhaps that's what Simon did. I don't know.
No, Simon's used his wildcard already.
He has used his wildcard. He's just used an extraordinary amount of transfers.
I didn't think Simon had taken any hits either this season. I'm sure he told me that when we were walking. Well, now he's gone rogue.
He's definitely taking it now. He's definitely taking
what
it now.
What is he doing?
Lukey Boy 123 missed so many chances. I can't lie. I don't know what you're talking about there. Probably might be Jota, you know, because Jota did actually miss a ton of chances. There was obviously the goal on 9 minutes was wonderful. But that's now two or three this season, and I remember it fairly early on in the season, might even have been opening game week against Ipswich, where Trent to Jota, and Jota missing a big chance, and notice he didn't get any bonus points this week, because he keeps missing bloody big chances, and they keep being set up by Trent as well. So I don't know how many extra points I would have had if Jota would have slotted those two, but who knows? Who knows? John Little, gutted I chickened out on the Saka captaincy. I was afraid of Haaland. Well, John, are not alone, sir. You are not alone. I will put myself in that bracket as well. For all of us that have got those two, and I put myself in that bracket, I absolutely considered Saka for captaincy this week. Why wouldn't you? You have to. But I got the fear, didn't I? I got the Haaland at home fear. So for those of you that have got both, and went for Saka over Haaland, you have played a blinder, including our friend Nick from Who Got the Assist. I don't know if you've seen this. I saw it just as I was coming on. I knew he was having a pretty good season. He's up to 393. Not K, 393. So Nick doing very, very well from Who Got the Assist. If you're not following the boys Who Got the Assist over on Twitter and YouTube and podcasts and stuff, check those guys out at the end of the stream. Go search for Who Got the Assist and go and have a look at what Nick is doing. 393. Absolutely crazy.
Little
absolutely
shout out crazy to our Max, though. He's having a stormer.
Max is doing well, isn't he? Yeah, where's he up to?
55k.
55k, not bad.
Jots are good, Max.
Just shows you, just be more Max. Just don't overthink it.
And last week he benched Van der Ven.
Did he miss out on Van der Ven's assist last week?
And the clean sheet. Missed his like haul that he had last week.
Well, there we go. All right, so we've got a whole host of you in this evening. Very nice to see you all.
Is Aztec around, or is he gone?
I think he's just come in to go see goals and then cause some technical issues and then bugger off. That's how
that
Az rolls.
Is that what he's done?
He's probably going to bed early. You're getting him up at 6:30 to a bloody podcast.
He loves me.
Imagine you'd have beaten him today. Then he'd be up at 6:30 and not wanting to be there.
He still
he'd
loves
be well
me.
Grumpy, wouldn't he'd
be turning up in the morning. I can't guarantee what kind of mood I'll be in, but Az will be in a good mood.
Well, let's have a look at some of these fixtures, Sam. Let's have a look at some of the results. And I want to start. I'm going to be bloody selfish today. Cast your mind back all the way to Saturday lunchtime and to Palace 0, Liverpool 1. Now, you, Sam, and me as well, we had the best combination of Liverpool assets here. Both of us own Jota. Both of us own Trent. So to come out of that game with Salah blanking, with Robbo blanking because he didn't start the game. With Diaz blanking. Who else is in there? Whoever else you've got from Liverpool.
But the Robbo one was nice because came on for a one-pointer as well. So if you did. So actually that, if you were a non-Robbo owner and then that happened to people in your mini leagues that own him instead, that will have helped you rank massively.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
the worst thing if you own him, the one-point cameo though.
Absolutely. And Liverpool, it came at a bit of a cost because we saw Alisson go off with what looked like a hamstring injury. Trent plays him a back pass from hell, frankly. It's just a horrible back pass. And Alisson has to kind of like really awkwardly kick it out for a throw-in. Not good. And it looks like he'll be out for a few weeks. Kelleher was ill this week. He's ill, not injured, he's just ill.
Oh, is that why he wasn't there?
Yes, that's why he's not there. He's not dropped, he's not rotated, he was just ill. So, you know, fingers crossed he's going to be fine when we come back from the international break after a couple of weeks. The young lad, Jaros, who... So I don't... Honestly, guys, you asked me about a Liverpool player. I don't know much about him, to be honest with you, other than I think he's been on loan for the last couple of seasons. But he came on and he did all right. He did all right. He saved that Eze one-on-one, didn't he? Although Eze probably should have done better. So no panic, I guess, from a Liverpool perspective, because I think Kelleher's going to be available. Looks like McAllister might have picked up a little something as well, but brought off as a precaution. I hope just a precaution. But FPL-wise, it was all about Jota and it was all about Trent, wasn't it? What do you think about, those two, but also Mo Salah as well? Because another blank for Salah, not great for his owners, right?
No, not great. Although he did blank last week, though, Salah. Salah did return last week, didn't he, for everybody that had captained him. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think there was a lot of people moving off of Salah, and particularly off Salah this week. and moving towards a Diaz if you wanted to stay on the Liverpool attacking assets. There were a lot
people
of people
going Palmer, weren't they? Salah Palmer.
Yeah, there was a lot of, or Saka. There were a lot of people last week on wildcard that upgraded Jota to Diaz.
Yeah.
Which actually hasn't ended up being much of an upgrade in the last couple of weeks, because obviously it's been Jota for the last 2 weeks. I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it?
How you feel about owning Jota, though? You've got to be feeling pretty good, right? Two assists last week, a goal this week.
For the last 2 weeks, I've pondered on selling him, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah, because like, you want Mbeumo,
because
don't
I want Mbeumo. And so 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, I really want Mbeumo. The only way I've got to him is Jota. I can't sell Jota ahead of the Wolves game. And then was glad I didn't, because although Mbeumo got the goal, it was just the goal, and Jota obviously got the couple of assists. So I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, Jota's, that's fine. Roll forward this week, same thing, same issues. And bless Az, if he is still about. I said to Az on our Q&A on Thursday, I was like, Az, I'm going to be on Sky on Saturday morning. I've got problems. Because if Liverpool, you know, if we hear Jota's benched,
yeah,
I'm not going to be able to act on it. So Az was under instructions to message me if there was any news. And he did. I love him. As I was walking off the set, I got a text to say Jota, Diaz was benched.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I'll keep Jota then. But it's hard, isn't it? Because I still want Mbeumo. I still don't have a route to him that's not selling Jota, unless I'm prepared to change up the way my front line is, which maybe I am, because I've got Ollie Watkins in that spot. Maybe we'll talk about Ollie Watkins and Villa later. But if I don't have quite such a heavy front line, then I can upgrade one of my cheaper midfielders and have Mbeumo that way, which actually maybe is a better option. Because even with the two fixtures that we have coming up for Liverpool, in particular the Chelsea game after the international break, Chelsea defensively have been all at sea. So I don't expect Liverpool not to score in that one. And Jota does seem to be the informed Liverpool attacking asset at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with my story that I've had for weeks and weeks and weeks here on FPL Family, which is I don't think Nunes is doing enough whenever we see him. I think Gakpo is. And therefore, if you want to go into Diaz, that's cool, but just expect Gakpo to get some minutes. But with Jota, he's the man. He's the front man. And Nunes is not doing enough to oust him. So why would Slot change it? And I think he's, if anything, he might just be, you know, he flogged Jota for the full 90 minutes this week. But that's because we've got an international break coming up. And, you know, he might be going away with Portugal. I've no idea, right? But for the sake of, you know, he's got a bit of a rest coming up. So, okay, I'll play him 90 minutes. As Europe, as we get further into the Champions League and stuff, yes, for sure, Nunes will come on and take some minutes. But I still think the front three is Diaz and Jota and Salah. And I've said it for weeks. I think if you've got Jota, just be patient. I just think he's such good value for money. I honestly do. So no issue for Jota for me. And for him to pop up with the goal here, should have had more, right? Should have had more in this game, no doubt about it. Defensively, Liverpool, though, conceding a little bit of XGC. So, you know, it wasn't without, you know, certainly first half, I thought Liverpool completely controlled it and we were very, very good indeed. And it looked completely one-way traffic. But then sort of Glasner got their act together. Palace bought on Mateta, which I thought was a bit of a game changer, actually. I thought Nketiah got no change out of Konate and Van Dijk. And when you know, he's not a physical presence, is he, Nketiah? So I didn't expect him to get a lot of change out of them too. So when Mateta comes on, it gives Van Dijk and Konate something to think about.
Yeah.
And he was much more of a presence. So I wasn't surprised to see a bit of shift in momentum once Mateta come on. If anything, I thought he should have come on at half-time or earlier. But nevertheless, he brought him on. And Palace were better. Could have got something out of that game, no doubt. So for all the chances we had and all the Diogo Jota big misses, the Trent clean sheet, and he got two bonus points as well, Trent. So I was very happy to have him. It was on thin ice a bit, wasn't it? It's on thin ice a bit. How are you feeling about Trent? Still happy? Still locked in? So again, because no attacking returns again for Trent.
No. The locked in question, I don't think I'm locked in on him. Because, again, if I decide I don't want to sell Ollie Watkins to free up the money to upgrade in the middle elsewhere, then Trent is one of the next most obvious points to take some money out of. And I think he's worth 7 million when he's getting attacking returns and clean sheets. When he's only getting one of them, you have to start having that conversation, because it doesn't mean that he's not going to get anything, right? But coming up, particularly with the two games that we have coming up, we need to think carefully about that, don't we? Because is there going to be clean sheets against Chelsea and Manchester City? Probably not. So we're going to be reliant on attacking returns in those games.
Well, let's have a look at those games. It's not Man City, it's Arsenal. So it's Chelsea, Arsenal, and then Brighton, Villa. So
same applies, though. We don't see a clean sheet there, surely.
Well, yeah, but three home games in the next four, and then Southampton in 12. I mean, it's not that bad, is it? I mean, the Arsenal game, yes, but...
No, but Southampton in 12, I'm currently looking at a wildcard strategy of game week 12. So
okay.
I could lose Trent for the next 4 weeks and then bring him back in ahead of game week 12 and enjoy that.
Okay. All right, I'm just going to try turning this mic back on. You guys can tell us whether that is still echoey and horrible to listen to. If it is, I will turn it off again, but I've just tweaked something and I think it should be all right now. But if it's echoey, let me know. What else to say about Palace versus Liverpool? Anybody from Palace on your radar? The fixtures are Forest, Spurs, Wolves and Fulham up next. Yes, it is still echoing. All right, I'm going to turn it off.
Right, bin that. That's gone. I'll get rid of that. Right, there we go. We'll just carry on with this mic. What do we think about Crystal Palace then? Anything to say about them? Forest, Spurs, Wolves and Fulham up next. Anybody there sort of catching your eye or not really?
They've got 3 points, Lee.
Hmm. Are they a team to target then?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
There's nobody I'd want to own from Palace.
Nobody that you'd want to own from Palace. I think I'd agree. Yeah, I think I'd agree. I don't think I'd want to go there at the moment. Anything else to say about this game?
No.
Or shall we move on?
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
It's been a lot of Liverpool in this chat. I think we need to move on.
Let's move on.
You started off singing.
There's nothing wrong with singing about being top of the league. It's very rare that we are top of the league, except for, you know, last 2 weeks.
No.
Man City 3, Fulham 2. Speaking of top of the league, because they're right up there as well. Talk to me about this game, though, because City were not their, what you would call their kind of fluent best, were they? They were sort of, did enough to get the game done, but they certainly weren't at their fluent best. And I think I've missed a couple of super chats, guys. You guys are saying in the chat, so I'm going to go back and do these super chats before I come to you on Man City versus Fulham. Let's go back to, let's see, Nigel the Crab. I decided to play FPL on veteran mode on our walk, Sam. I made 18 transfers and was 4 behind Holly. Now 100 and planning more hits. Love it. Absolutely mad. Super chat from Connor Medlin. Thank you, Connor. Seeing traumatised Postecoglou wandering around the pitch at full time was tragic and a bit upsetting. I don't think he was traumatised, Connor, but we'll talk about Spurs in just a sec. And then Wilco, cheap defenders the way to go. Not many clean sheets about, a lot of goals. Is it best to go expensive mids and forwards just like last year? That's a nice comment that we can, on the back of, talk about Man City 3, Fulham 2. Because, yeah, clean sheets at a bit of a premium across the board. And Man City, I mean, I feel okay investing in Rico just because he's cheap. But if you've got a Vardiol or if you've got another Man City defender, they ain't keeping clean sheets. They keep conceding the odd one or, in this case, 2 goals, right?
And I said the other week when Jules and I were having an argument about this on the official pod, I just don't think they will keep clean sheets this season. I didn't think they were going to before. The Rodri injury means I don't think they will full stop this year. Yeah. I just think the way that they play, even last season when they were full strength, they didn't have... They don't have defensive security. They've always got a mistake or two in them at the back. Now, that's always fine because they'll score more goals than they'll concede and they'll end up winning games like they did in this one when they're not at their best and yet they'll still find a way to win the game. But without Rodri, that's even worse. They're all at sea defensively and they don't have that security. And Edison is prone to mistakes. And personally, I know that Lewis gets the assist for the third goal in this one. I still don't even think he's worth paying the extra. If you haven't already got him, if you bought him in at 4.5, fine. But now you've got to pay, is it 4.8 I think he is now?
I think he could be 4.8, yeah, so if not 4.7. Yeah.
You've got to find that extra 0.3 now. And I think that there are, as Wilco said, there's a lot in the cheap bracket, in the 4 and the 4.5, that have still got that attacking threat. I mean, Greaves should have scored one at the weekend. I don't know how he didn't score one in the West Ham Ipswich game, so you could have had one for him. There's plenty of potential, I think, in that lower price bracket. The one thing I would say in answer to Wilco's super chat from before is that we see this a lot in the early parts of the season. The first 8 game weeks of the season, usually we don't have many clean sheets. we get past sort of game week 8 and we start to see some stabilising of the huge score lines, and we don't get as many of them. So
yeah,
I would expect that in the coming weeks we'll start to see a settling. And the teams that have got the premium defenders in, the ones that you've got to pay significant dollar for,
yeah,
would start to return, I would expect. But it is possible that they don't at all this season, but they usually do.
Well, I'm gonna continue to disagree with you on Rico. I just think he's brilliant value. I think he's playing in a massively out of position, almost in that he played like in the 10, I think, at some points in that game. So for him to just get the assist, I take it. I mean, you call it an assist. He sideways passed it to Doku, then scores a worldie, doesn't he? So, yeah, you know, it's a jammy assist, no doubt about it. But he's in those positions to be jammy, if that makes sense. It's almost like the clean sheet points are just a bonus. This is a Man City attacker. If he was a midfielder for Man City playing regularly at 4.7, you'd buy him. The fact that he's got the potential to get a bonus 4 points, if you like, from getting a clean sheet, all right, they're not keeping that many clean sheets. But he's 4.7. I just think he's a no-brainer. And the other thing with Walker's done. He's done. You see him get absolutely rinsed by Traore. Now, I know Traore can rinse at most players, right?
He's fast.
And by the way, could have had a hat-trick in this game. I've seen Micah and a few others in the chat saying about Traore's chances. Yes, I totally agree. Traore, if he could finish, that lad would be dangerous. He's just all pace and dribbles, isn't he? He's no finish, Traore, unfortunately. But I've never seen Walker get done like that in a sheer foot race. And he completely does him. I just see Rico's just a... I would just have him all day long. And I'm very happy to have him. There's no question. So I think Man City... What about Haaland now? A couple of blanks back to back. You just can't sell him, can you? Because of these fixtures. You just got to keep him.
Why would you want to sell him?
Well, it's Wolves up next. So I've got like, what, 1 point, I think, all season. If not zero. I don't even know. But they're having a tough time. Now, Wolves have had a difficult start to the season. Gary O'Neill, you know, if he could have hand-picked the first 7 games, he would not have picked them. Very, very difficult games. And actually, the Wolves fixtures after the City game, when they get to game week 9, we might start thinking about their assets, because I'm already having a look at Cunha and Ait Nouri and a few others in that team, but not for 8 because they've got City. But you ain't selling Haaland a bit ahead of Wolves and Southampton. You're just not doing it.
I don't know why you would even consider.
Well, he's got 2 blanks, Sam, and he's 15 million. So there's a lot of people that are considering selling and going for Palmer. Saka's got a lot of points this week. You know, Salah's fixtures look pretty good. So there will be people thinking about it.
Well, don't. If you're thinking about it, stop thinking about it, because it's going to be... He's not going to blank every week. I think if you're seriously thinking about it, then that's an issue, because for the opening 5 game weeks of the season, he was the top scoring player in the game. He's already far and above everyone else in terms of the golden boot race, and he was the top point scorer in the game. So, all right, 2 blanks is not ideal. I get it. And I get that some people will be upset because they've captained him for the last couple of weeks. However, Wolves are dreadful, and so are Southampton.
Yeah.
And after that, the fixtures remain still nice for Manchester City. So I don't know why you would... I don't think anyone is really seriously considering selling Haaland ahead of those two.
Okay. And then Fulham, from their perspective, I think shout out to Raul Jimenez for assist of the season. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Oh my God, what an assist that is. The back heel, if you've not seen that yet, guys, that is absolutely worth seeing. I think it was for the Andreas goal. So, so good. Anything to say about these guys? I mean... Yes, Traore definitely could have had more than one goal. And if it weren't for Ederson, and if he could actually finish, I can see you guys in the chat saying that if Traore could finish, he wouldn't be at Fulham. I totally agree. I totally agree, because he's such a handful. And Pep come out after the game talking about how much of a handful he is, Traore. But the guy just can't finish. He just can't finish. The Fulham fixtures are Villa, Everton, Brentford, Palace, Wolves, and then Spurs. It's pretty good, isn't it? Doesn't look too bad. You still got Smith Rowe?
No, I ditched him this week.
So you've ditched Smith Rowe. Nothing for him this week. But the fixtures out there look okay if you want to hold, right?
Well, he got benched this week, Smith Rowe.
He did get benched. That's true. Yeah,
so
true.
I don't know. I think it's becoming apparent that at Fulham, if you are going to invest, it seems to be Jimenez that's the way to go. And I think the issue I have...
Cheap, isn't he, Jimenez?
He is cheap. But I think the issue I have with Jimenez is that he's at a weird price point in that forward line. Because... If you're going to go down, I prefer Delap at the cheapest price points. in terms of starting forwards.
Yeah.
And I just don't... It's interesting, isn't it? Because in the opening couple of weeks of the season, I've enjoyed owning Smith Rowe. I've still got Robinson in my team.
Yeah.
He's still sitting on my bench. I'll happily probably play him over the next couple of weeks. There's a few fixtures in there that he can come in for because he's got the attacking threat as well. But no, from a forward-thinking perspective in terms of the midfielders and the attackers, I think it's Jimenez or no one.
All right. Haaland triple captain in 9 at home to Southampton?
Now, that's an interesting question.
Tempting, isn't it?
Because
we'll be having that conversation when we get the other side of the break.
I mean, the positive thing about that is we've got one game the other side of the break. If we see Haaland blank against Wolves, then nobody's seriously going to consider triple captaining a player that's blank 3 times in a row.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But Southampton, are that bad? Or are they? Because let's go to that. Arsenal 3, Southampton 1. In the end, Arsenal getting the job done. But Saints went ahead in this game. And I'm telling you, Mr. Harwood Bellis, who's the other lad, the other youngster up front, Tyler Diblin, he is going to be a very, very good player indeed. Very nice player. I like him a lot. And I think if you want to get him an FPL, I've got nothing against it whatsoever. But the Saints, I think, you know, having gone 1-0 up, they just poked the bear a little bit with Arsenal.
They and Havertz. Them.
Havertz comes in with a very, very good goal. Martinelli sneaks in at the back door and then Saka gets his goal as well. But it was the Saka show, wasn't it? I mean, 2 assists and a goal. If you sold him this week, the risks were there, right? The signs were there last week because, all right, no returns in game week 6, but the underlying stats were great. He created a ton of chances. He did everything except get FPL points last week, didn't he? And he even got a bonus point in a game that got 6 goals and wasn't involved with any of them and he still got a bonus point. So the signs were there to keep. So if you did... Well done, because the 13, 14 point or whatever he got this week was your reward.
I was doing some notes for Az and I for tomorrow and just dropped a load of stuff from the FFS members area on our document. And it's like dominating stats galore for Saka. Top for shots, top for crosses, top for chances created, top for this, top for that, top for everything across the game week. And he was like that last week. And what's really frustrated me this week is that I wanted to captain Saka again this week. I thought he was going to be a really good captaincy option. But because Haaland had the home fixture, it was harder to go against him this time around. And I think in the end, the fear got me. But Saka's been phenomenal. Now, we're going to have to keep an eye on Kai Havertz. I noticed that he's withdrawn from the Germany squad through injury.
Yeah, he's got some sort of knee injury.
So, eyes on it.
We're going to get so much of that, aren't we?
Well, we
is
are.
Is he actually injured?
Well, I don't know, but... No. I don't know, but let's keep our eyes on it because the thing is, without Odegaard until I think Christmas, I think that's what they were saying. His role in that team is even more critical, I think, than it was before. So without him, I would worry a little bit. Not enough to make me sell Saka. And if you don't own Saka, I think you do need to be thinking about how you get to him, because for a lot of managers who sold him a couple of weeks ago to bring in Palmer or thought about sending him this week to bring in Palmer, he just looks too dangerous to be without for me, Saka.
He's
one of those
every
players.
Week except one, right? I mean,
yeah, and even then he still picked up a bonus point in the 1 week that he didn't return, and he could have. I mean, like he got an assist, but he put the ball in, didn't he?
Yeah.
It wasn't an assist, but he put the ball in for the goal, the own goal that ended up going in. He is integral to everything that Arsenal do. And
can you take on Haaland with Saka, though? I mean, have a look at these fixtures. So with Haaland, Wolves and Southampton, I mean, you're captaining him. Away at Bournemouth in 10, well, then Arsenal have got away to Newcastle, so you're not using Saka to take on Haaland then.
Why have you got to take them on? Why are we worried about the captaincy?
Well, I think he's one of the key candidates for captaincy against Haaland. I'm just thinking of those that haven't got Saka, or even for those that have, and you're thinking about getting an advantage in your mini leagues, because everyone's going to be captaining Haaland, right? So if you've got to be, you want to do something different over the next few weeks, maybe captaining Saka, for those that did this week, you're laughing, right?
Well, yeah, sure. But I think the key thing is, if you've got Saka, great. If you haven't got Saka, find a way. That's what I'm saying. I don't think the captaincy really comes into the conversation, because I think, you know, it's about owning him. The underlying numbers for him this season are ridiculous. He's just phenomenal. And he's in such good form. And even in a game where Arsenal go behind. So it's an annoyance. If you've doubled up on the Arsenal defence, it's a real annoyance because that's two game weeks on the bounce where you'd have expected them to keep clean sheets against Leicester and Southampton.
Good strike for Marshall, though, wasn't it?
It was. And in neither of them have they kept clean sheets, though. So if you've done the Arsenal defensive double-up, that is going to be a frustration. If you've done the Saliba and Gabriel thing, or maybe you've done Gabriel and Raya, or however you've done it, it will still be a frustration. And I think you really need to have Saka. And it will be difficult. Like, that's one of the first things I'm going to ask Jules in the pod on Wednesday when I see him. What are you going to do about that? Because he doesn't have him. Now, he has got Salah. So the question is going to, I guess, for him be, how are you prepared to sacrifice Salah to have Saka? Now, you might not like that, but I think the answer to that is should be yes. Because I just think that the form player right now is Saka.
He's bang on it, isn't he? Yeah. He's bang on it. He's so integral to everything. That's what I would say about the Salah versus Saka thing, is that with Salah, of course he's integral. Of course he is. And I do think, you know, even when Chiesa's fit and up to speed, I don't think that, you know, he's going to risk Salah's starts too much. Minutes maybe a bit, but not his starts. But then Diaz is banging them in. Jota's getting goals. There's goals from midfield as well. Whereas with Arsenal, do you think it's a bit less spread around at Arsenal because of Odegaard not being there? It's just the kind of Havertz and Saka show, isn't it, really?
I mean, I guess that's the other
Martinelli's
thing.
Martinelli's there as well, isn't he? I'm doing him a bit of a disservice.
I guess that's the other thing, isn't it, about Arsenal, is that if you haven't got Saka and you can't afford Saka, then you injury pending. And again, you know, we use the term injury because that's what we've been told. Then maybe there's a conversation, because Saka's obviously going to cost you, I think he's 10.1 now. Havertz, significantly cheaper, he's in the 8 point something bracket. I don't know exactly what he is right now. So you could maybe look at doing that and change up the way your front line is. But I just think of all the players in the game right now, if I was to wildcard and take everyone back out and then start putting people back in, Saka would be the first player that I would put in.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had a blank team sheet, he would be the first one.
I think so. Nothing much to say about Southampton, I'm afraid, other than I thought they were better. And I think Russell Martin came out after the game and said, look, if we take the approach that we took today against Arsenal, against lesser opponents, with respect to those that are coming up, then they will start to get results. And I agreed. I thought they were better. But they're still a team to target.
I agree with you. I think they were better. But I think that's because they almost played without fear, because they were like, well, we're not supposed to win this one, so let's just play.
Just take a free swing at it.
Let's just play and see what happens. Whereas I think for some of those next games that Southampton have coming up, they're going to have to win. And when you have to win, the pressure
back on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's move it on, Sam. Where else do we want to go? Do you want to do your game?
Yeah, if you like.
Go on then, let's do your game. Brighton 3, Spurs 2. We finished watching it a couple of hours ago. Bonkers game, but give us your view.
It was bonkers, wasn't it? Utterly nonsense. First half, Spurs were really good. We were dominant. We played really well. Loads of attacking threat. Very annoying not taking chances again.
Yeah, there was the wasteful first half. No doubt about it.
Like, really, we could have gone in at half-time 4-up. And that probably would have been...
Weird, isn't it? Because it's the same with Chelsea against Brighton last week, except they did get the 4.
Yep.
Obviously, Cole got the 4. And then Brighton come out and improve in the second half.
Yeah, same thing. Exactly the same again.
Same, except, you know...
Except we didn't have a 4-goal head start.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And you only got the 2, whereas you... I agree. Could have been more first half. You were very, very good.
I think the difficulty that Spurs have always had defensively is that defensively we do have mistakes in us. And today, the first 2 goals, especially, that Brighton scored, came from individual mistakes
at the back. Individual errors, yeah.
And that is the problem. And that's been the problem all season. And that's why Spurs' defenders are difficult to own in FPL, because you have these individual moments of just madness. Like Udogie today, that's just an individual calamity. And it's like, oh, come on. All you got to do, Destiny, is clear the ball. Even if you put it out for a corner, do that. Rather do that than what you did, because it just gives away a goal. And the problem is that when we get one, it gives momentum, and you see the individual mistakes. And Brighton, to their credit, they took it. They got the one, and then they fought for the second and the third.
Yeah, yeah.
And they deserve
momentum, right? crowd got up, etc.
If anyone was going to win the game in the end, they deserved to be the ones that did, because they were the ones that were fighting for it more. We have really missed, and I know that last week we sat here, but I said the same thing. We really miss Son, because although Timo is trying his best,
I haven't missed him much for the last couple of weeks, so it's been great.
No, but we have. Even last week, if you think back to last week, we sat here and we said there were loads of balls that were being played down that side to Timo, and he was so wasteful down that side.
Mm.
If Son's there, they're more clinical down that side with those chances that were created both last week and this week. I maintain that. Timo's done a fine job, but you can't do a fine job.
Is he back after the international break, Sonny?
Yeah, I think he was probably tight today, because when Ange was talking last week, he was saying it was close mm-hmm. for the Manchester United game. Obviously, then we went away in Europe. We played all the kids. We left him at home. And then this weekend, I think he thought, we can probably get through this one without you. That way, you're not going away on international duty with Korea. You get 2 weeks. You basically then had 2 weeks rest and then the extra international break to go back into training. And then after that, it can be back for game week 8. So I'm expecting Sonny back for 8. And I think it will make a big difference, because when we had all of them fit and firing, while Son was at points still the weakest point in that, he's not Timo Werner. And he's not missing sitters, and he's not...
Yeah.
It was a frustration, but, you know, it is what it is. I think we saw enough today. If you brought in Brennan, obviously this week he gets the goal again. That's 6-6 now in all competitions for him. Yeah, he's on fire. About him?
What a great FPL asset he's
fantastic,
looking like.
So fantastic
good.
FPL asset. And I think, you know, he is looking like a player that you... If you're wildcarding right now, with the Spurs fixtures the way they are, if you roll Spurs' fixtures through to game week 19, when the next wildcard window opens, they're second on the ticket to Wolves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the fixtures are really nice for Spurs.
West Ham
forward.
At home, Palace away, Villa at home, Ipswich at home. Three of the next four at home with that Palace game, which on paper doesn't look too bad the way Palace are playing right now. And then Fulham at home in 13. So, yeah, over the next six, only really City away in 12 to worry you.
Yeah. So we've got loads of really nice fixtures coming up. And actually, it's City in 12 and Liverpool in 17 and everything else looks really nice.
Mm.
So I think Brennan Johnson is a really nice, cheap, affordable way into that Spurs team. I think if you want to spend an extra million on James Maddison, then fine. My personal view is you don't need to.
Who would your one be there? So if I'm wildcarding this week and I said to you, I want one Spurs attacker, and I only want one Spurs attacker, Maddison, Johnson, Solanke, Kulusevski. Because last week we sat here and I think I asked you the same question. I think we both agreed on Solanke.
Yeah.
Still Solanke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because for me, I'll still maintain, as I said on Sky yesterday, that Brennan Johnson is a streaky player. He goes in waves of being brilliant.
Oh, he's on a hell of a streak, though.
100%, he is. But if you think about how long that streak's actually been, it's 6 games. It's been like 3 weeks. So it is like a limited short period of time. Now, I still think he's a fantastic buy. He is still the player I would like to own in my team that I haven't got.
I almost don't want the international break for him, do you? Because he's in such a good groove.
No, but he will go away with Wales. So he will continue to play. But I think the thing is, longer term, if you think about over the course of the season, I would expect Solanke to outscore Johnson over the course of the season as a whole.
Mm.
I also think that in the few weeks that we have coming up, if you do ever want to go against the Haaland captaincy, and there are a couple of weeks coming up where you might look at it and go, there's a difficult... I think, is it game week 10? Where Man City have got a difficult-ish looking fixture.
What, Bournemouth away?
No, it might be not. When's their...
Well, they got Liverpool in 13.
It might be 13 then. Who have Arsenal got in 13? Is it Newcastle?
West Ham away, but that's
no,
six,
it's not that one.
6 weeks away.
There's
right?
a game
Ages.
Week where I was looking, and I can't remember when it was, where Arsenal's fixture was a bit mixed, and Liverpool's was a bit mixed, and Man City's was a bit mixed. And I was like, I don't think Brennan Johnson is the sort of player that you'd ever hand a captain's armband to.
No,
whereas I think Dom Solanke could be a player that you do, especially because I think he's on penalties. We haven't found that out yet because he's not been on the pitch when we've had one.
Mm.
But I would expect him to be taking Spurs penalties. So for me, I would still rank Solanke as a higher priority buy than Johnson. But if your weakest player is in your midfield and you can get to Johnson much easier because he's cheaper,
okay,
then I absolutely love the Johnson pick as well.
All right. I thought, let's have a word on Brighton then. I thought one of the things they changed at half time was they started doubling up on who I thought was your most dangerous player. And I've thought this for a few weeks, actually. Weird that I don't consider him an option FPL, but I think Dejan Kulusevski has been your best player for about 2 or 3 weeks, and he completely ran the show in the first half, completely. And they started doubling up on him. They started shutting him down to be more aggressive on him in the second half. And that made a difference because he's become almost like your creator in chief in that 10. He's just, I didn't have Kulu down as a very creative player, but he is, turns out. And Brighton did a bit of a job on him second half. What did you make of the Brighton performance, though? Because it was, I mean, Mitoma coming in with just an assist, but could have had more. And I thought by bringing Purvis Estupinan on at half time, that freed Mitoma up. I think, you know, Purvis was actually quite disciplined in what he was doing, which allowed Mitoma then to get at your fullback a little bit more. Let's have a look at the Brighton fixtures before we go in and talk about their players. It's tricky, right? They are bottom of the fixture ticker. So Newcastle away up next. Wolves at home, which looks good in 9, but then Liverpool and City. It's difficult to say you're going to invest in any of those, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Welbeck is probably the Brighton player. But I don't think you're going to buy. I think if you've got Welbeck already, you hold. I'd play him against Newcastle and Wolves. Mm. And then probably look to bench him against Liverpool and Manchester City. Because from 12 onwards, the Brighton fixtures are really, really nice again. So I think if you don't already have investment in Brighton, like I don't currently have any Seagulls players, and I'm not planning to get any until game week 12, because from game week 12 onwards, the Brighton fixtures are absolutely delightful. They're really, really nice. And by that point, I would hope that João Pedro might be back as an option. And he keeps taking price drops at the moment because everybody is exit stage right because he's obviously been injured. But are we looking at him from 12 until 12? That Wolves game there might be one of those ones that you just have to kind of accept that you'd really like to have somebody, but
yeah,
you're not going to buy ahead of the two games that follow, probably.
Yeah, well, I've got João Pedro and I'm thinking about a move sideways, and I was going to do a really nice segue into Liam Delap, and I might still do it, but I want to read out a comment from the live chat first because Sam Vimes, really nice comment. Belieber's amazing, but not a good asset. I totally agree. Not for FPL. But Belieber was superb today. Superb, particularly in that second half. It's almost like the next one, isn't he, on the Brighton conveyor belt. You know, they've got rid of Caicedo for 100 whatever million it was to Chelsea. No problem. Let's just find a go and scout another one. And Belieber's come in. And eyes on him for the next few weeks. Not in FPL, I don't think. Certainly not yet, as Sam is saying in the chat. You're absolutely right, Sam. But player-wise, like him a lot. I really do. Let me do that segue then from I'm a João Pedro owner into I want to be a Liam Delap owner, because another really, really nice performance from the young man. Despite the fact that they got beat 4-1, I was really impressed with his off the ball movement. He took his goal really, really well. We'll talk about the Hammers in a minute because they were good too. But how do you feel about Delap? Because he's obviously playing in a team that they're finding it tricky, getting beat 4-1 away from home, all the rest of it. But he's the one that looks likely. And he is in that João Pedro bracket. And there's a few now that are starting to come through. I think Jimenez is kind of in that bracket as well. Mm. Maybe a bit more expensive. Chris Wood scoring again this weekend. So João Pedro owners, I don't think, are sweating too much. Because as long as you've maybe got a few quid in the bank, you can move sideways to one of these. And I'm definitely looking at João Pedro to Delap right now.
I mean, I've become Delap's biggest fan in the last few weeks. Mm. I started talking about him about 3 or 4
really
weeks
nice
ago.
Really nice player.
I really like him in this Ipswich team. Like, I appreciate that they got absolutely smashed today or yesterday. But I still really like this Ipswich team. They've got a lot about them. I think there's enough in there. There's enough of good players in there that are creating chances that they've got goals in them. And Delap is the one that seems to be... he's their focal point, right? So what do you want when you're investing in an FPL player? Well, you want guaranteed minutes. You want, ideally, an informed team. But the priority is really that they are the key attack player in that team scenario. Now, with Delap, Ipswich's form is mixed, but the fixtures are nice. They've got good fixtures coming up. And they're the sort of fixtures that if you are the Ipswich boss, you are looking at them and you're saying to your team, we have to pick up 3 points in these games.
Everton, Brentford, Leicester up next.
Yeah. These are the sort of fixtures that if you want to stay in the Premier League, have to get 3 points out of. And
he's the main threat right
now. So I wish I'd taken my own advice 2.5, 3 weeks ago when I started talking about Delap. I had him as my pod differential and he didn't do anything that week. In the weeks that followed, he's then braced last week and got a goal this week. He is, honestly, I think, a really nice FPL option. And the other thing I love about him is that at 5.5 million, you don't always have to play him. So if you want to go, you can have a fabulous front eight with him as your third forward. Because I'm in my head thinking, if I was to sell Ollie Watkins and get Delap in, like, you're talking about 3.5 million.
Absolutely.
3.5 million goes a long way in upgrading other players in your team. It's an Mbeumo instead of a Harry Winks across my team. So I think the Delap pick right now, given the Brighton fixtures the way that they are, I think he should be the priority if you want to go for a cheap...
The Ipswich fixtures, you're saying?
No, given the Brighton fixtures.
Oh, you're saying instead of
a João Pedro or Welbeck, who's playing well. I just think that the way that they are playing and the way that he is the focal point means that he would be my priority third striker if you want to go for that cheap...
Yeah, I think so.
...front man.
I like him. I like him a lot. Sorry, Ipswich fans, but I think he'd be due a move, particularly if you go down again at the end of the season. I think he'll get a move because he's that good. The way that he's off the ball as well is very good. If you watch him off the ball, he takes his goals very, very nicely indeed, but his off the ball work is good. He's very, very good. Weird that we would big up a player quite so much given that they lost 4-1. So, you know, literal kudos to West Ham because and to kudos himself because four different goal scorers. I do just want to give a quick, and I know that Antonio got three assists and a goal, so hell of a haul if you had him, but I don't think many have got him. Jared Bowen, though, low-key having a pretty good season, isn't he? I think is he going under the radar a little bit? Well, none of us seem to have him.
No, but why have we none of us got him? So, West Ham fans, excuse me for a second. Up until this game, they've been dreadful. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. Jared Bowen is a fantastic player. He is fantastic. I love Jared Bowen. I think he's one of my favourite fantasy players to own. But West Ham have been so poor that when you're talking about investment in FPL, you want to look for the players that have got form in the team that they are playing for as well as themselves.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that with West Ham. Now, maybe this is the moment because this game, they were good. They played well.
Though. Spurs away next, United, Forest away is difficult, isn't it?
It's not an easy run for them for sure. With Spurs up next. It's the lunchtime kickoff after the international break, that one. Shall I have a moan about that or shall I just accept it?
I think it's the first time Liverpool have not had that fixture. So, yeah, you can have a moan, but once you've had 13 of them, then come see me.
I don't care about the early kickoff thing. It doesn't bother me, so I'll take it. I'm going to that game. So I'll report back on Jared Bowen.
Give us a Bowen report back.
Think you need to defensively don't touch him. I still don't think touch him.
No, I don't think
but
so.
But going forwards, Bowen would be the only one I'd really look at for consistency, to be honest.
All right. Super chat from Siddharth. Thank you for the super chat, Siddharth. He says Solanke or Delap. The better replacement for Nicholas Jackson, Sam.
Why are we replacing Nico Jackson?
Well, that's one very good question. We'll talk about him next, if you like. But Solanke or Delap, Siddharth, it's two very different players, mate, because you're talking about a difference of a couple of million there. So it depends on what you're planning to do with that extra 2 million.
I'd also keep Jackson. The Chelsea fixtures are great.
Well, let's do that then. So let's go to Chelsea then. This isn't a game that... I don't think neither of us watched it.
It wasn't on TV,
was it? So we've got to watch Match of Day 2 tonight. But just the one assist for Palmer, although he does pick up a couple of bonus points, I think, joint with 32 BPS on the underlying system with Chris Wood. So they both pick up the two bonus points. What do we make of this game then? And why? Tell us why you wouldn't sell. I'll tell Siddharth why you would keep Nicholas Jackson.
We'll bring up the fixture ticker. And like if you read out the Chelsea fixtures...
Well, it's Liverpool away.
Yeah.
Difficult. Newcastle at home.
Yeah. Score against them.
Yeah, but not easy. Man United away. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
The next four, I can see where Siddharth's coming from.
I don't know. I think, apart from the Liverpool game, I'd be happy to hold Jackson.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would. I would be happy to hold him. If you want to swap him... Then I think that question about Solanke or Delap depends on what you want to do. So if you have no, if you have no need for the money, as in you're not, you've got Saka and you've got all these other players that you would want, and there's no need to save that money, then I'd pay the extra for Solanke. Because I think the way Spurs create chances, he's going to score goals. If actually you could strengthen elsewhere, then go down to that. But I would seriously consider holding Nico Jackson, because he's been decent in recent weeks. I haven't watched this game. Maybe he was really poor in this one. Mm. I don't know. But I still don't think the fixtures are that bad for Chelsea. And afterwards, I think after that game in, what's that? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Go from game week 12 onwards, I think the fixtures are quite nice for Chelsea.
Yeah,
so.
Sid Arf, I disagree. Sell for Solanke. If you've got Jackson playing Liverpool, Newcastle, Man U and Arsenal, or you can have Solanke playing West Ham, Palace, Villa and Ipswich, three of which are at home, that's not even a decision, mate. That's not even a decision. If you can do that move for free, bin Jackson for Solanke. I think absolutely. If you want to look at Delap, depends on what you could do with the two, but I'd much rather have Solanke over the next four than Jackson. Much rather. A word on Palmer then in this game. Are we worried about this or not really? Got the book in, two bonus points and assist. Not the whole. We're not going to score four every week though, is he? So just call your Jets. It was always going to be difficult against Forest.
No, but also I got to stop negging on Palmer, because I feel like I do it. I feel like I do it a lot. The problem I have with Palmer is that he's got two massive hauls this season. They've come against teams that have really struggled. Like, they've come in game week two and in game week
six
against defences that have been really bad.
Yeah. But they've been, it's been game state stuff, hasn't it? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because against Wolves in two, it was Ait Nouri decided to just go for a picnic. And then in six, it was because Brighton decided they were going to play a high line and they were just going to exploit it ruthlessly over and over while Brighton carried on being idiots.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, that's not me saying Palmer's not a good FPL asset. Of course he is. But I just think the two big hauls were because he ruthlessly exploited something that was a game state thing. Now, it can happen, and it will happen again, I'm sure.
But I think the point I was making is that it's been two game weeks of hauls, and then the other games, it's kind of been a ticking over of points.
Yeah.
Not... But that ticking over of points is kind of like, well, if you're 10 and a half, well, I think he's 10.8 now.
Yeah.
If you're 10.8, I want those hauls coming regularly. Now, I just don't know that I want to ruin my team. And I do feel like I'd have to ruin my team to fit Palmer into it.
I've not got any plans to get him either, but I do think... I mean, I've not seen the highlights. A few of the guys in the chat are saying that he completely ran the show again today and could have had more. So you're probably right, right?
But he's not going to dominate Liverpool.
Well, you wouldn't have thought so, Sam. But all it takes is for, you know, a mistake in the box. He gets the pen and he always scores the pens. So yeah. he's still a very, very good asset. And if you got him this week, just don't worry about it. I mean, it's, what is it? Still like a 7 or 8 pointer. It's still decent, right? So... I still think it's fine. A few of you in the chat, but Barney, thank you for the comment. Nicholas Jackson could face some action over putting a hand in the face of Morato, as per the Guardian. So have a keep an eye on that. So not seen it. But if Jackson has retaliated or raised his hands,
well, then he's an easy sell if he gets banned.
Well, yeah, going back to Sidov's question, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's do the last couple of games, Sam, before we move on to our teams. What else do you want to discuss? Oh, we've got to do Brentford, haven't we? We've got to do that. Nice stat coming out of this game, which I'm sure I'm going to steal now off of you because I think you're planning to use it on off the bench tomorrow. 8 goals in this game, all scored by players from different countries and different nationalities, which was a Premier League first. Absolutely ridiculous. I think Brentford didn't take the kickoff in this game, so therefore it took them ages to score their first
Absolutely
goal.
Absolutely lazy.
90 seconds rather than 20 seconds.
Terrible behaviour.
There's got to be something in this. I would love for somebody that's more analytical than me to have a look at why and how they're managing to do this, Brentford, but they're doing brilliantly at it. And Bremo scores again, okay, a penalty. And in a game where he's got 5 goals, I, as an Bremo owner...
Bit annoyed?
Yeah, a bit. I would have liked a bit more. You know, didn't even get an assist to go with his goal either.
As a non-Bremo owner... I was delighted.
You feel like you've dodged one there.
I feel like 100%. For the last 3 weeks, I've dodged Mbombo-shaped bullets.
Have you seen the highlights of this game, though?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Now, there's a reason you've got people like Pinnock and Collins scoring goals for Brentford, and that is because Wolves' defending from set pieces was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Absolutely terrible, they were, Wolves. And Gary O'Neill, to be fair to him, he didn't come out after the game and moan about refs or anything. He just went, yeah, we were really bad. And actually, from what I've seen of Wolves this season, and I defended them at the beginning of the podcast, beginning of the show today, I said, well, they've had some very difficult fixtures coming leading up to this one. And they have. And by the way, going to the G-Tech is not easy either. So they've had, what, seven now very difficult fixtures. But in the first six, I felt like there's been a performance, like there's been an identity about Wolves. Even when we played them, we beat them 2-1, but it's bloody difficult. You know, they've put up a bit of a fight. There was no fight here whatsoever.
But they scored
it
three.
It was rubbish. Yeah, they scored three. The 8 Nori one's just like a bit of a consolation at the end, right? And I do want to talk about Wolves because their fixtures do get better in a couple of weeks' time. So I do want to talk about Wolves in a minute. But from a Brentford perspective, I don't think they could believe their luck. I don't think they could believe, like, the Pinnock header. I mean, they do. There's a set piece just before it where they nearly score.
Yeah.
And they do the exact same thing. And Pinnock just says that bop. And it's a good header. Don't get me wrong. It's a nice header from Pinnock. But they couldn't believe their luck, Brentford. Five of the easiest goals they'll ever score, I think. And Wolves were just dreadful. So that's why when I'm talking about, you know, Haaland next week and the next week in game week 8 and whether, you know, obviously you're going to keep him. Are you going to captain him? Well, yeah, probably. Because the amount of XG they were giving up here, Wolves, was just mad. Just mad.
Mm.
And O'Neill, you know, like I say, O'Neill in his post-match conference said as much. And he said, we've got 2 weeks to fix it now because we've got City up next. So no point whinging about it. We've got to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, from an FPL perspective, you're not going for Wolves. So there's not much point in having even a conversation about them apart from to say that Wolves are a reason to captain Haaland next week.
Yeah.
From a Brentford perspective, though, I do feel like I've dodged a bullet with Mbeumo.
Gotta get on him, Sam.
Well,
score three games into the row. He's so good. Love having Mbeumo.
He is good, but it is only one every week. So it's all very well and good you saying that, but my route to him is to sell Jota, who's also getting a goal or two assists every week. So it's not like I'm, you know, you can't, in this game, this season, you cannot have everybody. Now, the question mark for me this week hangs over Ollie Watkins. But that wasn't the case last week, and that wasn't the case the week before. Mm. The last couple of weeks prior to this one, I haven't been able to sell Ollie Watkins. Now, obviously, this week, there's a conversation to be had, because if I downgrade him, then I can upgrade somebody else, and then I can have Mbeumo that way. But you can't have everybody. So it's a question of looking at the fixtures, looking at the player, and thinking, are you the best player in that price bracket to own to bring the best returns possible? Mm. And at the moment, I still think in the price bracket that they are, that Jota is the best player to have above Mbeumo. And if you can only have one, I still think it's Jota over him.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's discuss Wolves, though. And the reason I want to discuss Wolves is because, look, Man City up next. Okay. Fair play. I don't think we could bring in any Wolves in, particularly as they're bottom of the league and they're playing City. But from 9 onwards, the fixtures do get a lot better for them. Brighton away, you might not rush to them. Palace at home, Southampton at home, Fulham away, Bournemouth at home.
Well, they're the four, aren't they?
That's the four. And I do think from 10, we will be thinking about them. Ryan Aitnori's got a couple of goals already. I think he's had a price drop. He's in at 4-4. So he for sure is on radar for me. I do want to talk about Strand Larsen as well, because we're talking about players that are in that sort of João Pedro bracket. Well, he's, I think, another name that you can chuck in there that that João Pedro owners might want to have a look at. Cunha, of course, I think he's always going to be there as part of the conversation. We're probably a couple of weeks ahead of ourselves, if not 1 week ahead of ourselves, but we might start to look at them, maybe. You're screwing your face up, not feeling it.
No.
They are...
awful. Like, same with Crystal Palace. They're so bad at the moment. I know that they scored 3 goals here, but I'm not interested. I think that there are so many more consistent, more reliable FPL assets, even at their price points.
All right.
At 4.5, I still think there's better players elsewhere, at other teams that you can invest in. Yes, the fixtures, they are. If you run that ticker all the way through to 19, they are top, Wolves. But I still don't think that there's enough consistency there. Week to week, Aitnori just disappears in some games and you just don't see him. He might as well not be there. Cunha, I think, is a slight difference because he has got that pedigree behind him.
But where does Aitnori disappear to? up in the final third. That's where we want him in FPL.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean physically just disappears from games. Like you just there's large chunks of games where he's just not doing anything.
I think that's a bit of a lazy narrative from game week two where Palmer and Madueke had their way with him.
I think he's
got two goals already this season, ain't Nori?
No.
From fullback for 4.4, he's gonna be an option.
He won't. No, I don't think so. But okay. Maybe you'll prove me wrong, but I think Wolves are really gonna struggle this season. I don't see it turning around for them.
All right. I think Gary O'Neill's a good manager and I think he will turn it around from game week 10. Let's talk about let's just finish on then. Villa nil, Man United nil. Dreadful game. Dreadful game. Did not enjoy it at all. Not really a lot to talk about other than when you've got Watkins and Morgan Rogers in your team like I have, a Villa blank hurts, doesn't it? It's painful.
Well, especially, I suppose the thing to talk about in this one is the Konsa injury, which means he doesn't get the clean sheet. So for a lot of people that have Konsa, that's going to be a real annoyance.
Is that a bad injury? I haven't seen the diagnosis.
Know. We were still watching Max play at the point where he got injured, weren't we? I don't know. I think Ollie Watkins and Morgan Rogers for the last couple of weeks have been fantastic. It would be very lazy to sit here and go, I'm annoyed. I am annoyed because I was expecting big things from them, given particularly how poor Manchester United were last week and again in Europe in midweek. But Manchester United, it was just a boring game. It was a really, really boring game.
Yeah. The guys are saying a hammy for Konsa. That doesn't sound good.
No, he might be one you have to deal with. You get Ain't Nori instead.
That's not a bad shout. It's not a bad shout.
Are you right?
Yeah, listen, we disagree on Rico Lewis. We disagree on a lot this season. And Ain't Nori, I think, is another one where he's... I'm not saying rush to him because I've got City next and then it's Brighton away. But he will be on radar, I think. He will be on radar. Gary O'Neill is a top manager. They're not like a Southampton where doesn't matter how good they are, they're still going down. Ipswich, going to struggle, right? They will struggle. Whereas Wolves, they're a good team with good players and they've had some very, very difficult fixtures. And O'Neill is the sort of manager, I just back him to get it right. They've just got to pick up a couple of results. And I think Ain't Nori will be part of his plans going forward. United in this game, it was interesting to see Ten Hag start with Evans and Maguire in this game. It feels like Ten Hag is going back to those that he trusts, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know if he's just going with his...
He had to get something out of this game today.
He just had to, didn't he? He had to, no doubt about it. I agree with you on that. So, yeah, difficult watch this game. So not much else to say other than Konsa owners, you might have a hamstring issue to deal with. And Ollie Watkins and Morgan Rogers owners... Just a bit of patience, folks. I think a bit of patience. Villa fixtures, Fulham up next, then Bournemouth at home. Spurs and Liverpool away. It's looking tricky. And then Palace at home in 12. So a mixed bag, I would say, particularly with European fixtures around it as well. So you sort of talking a little bit there about potentially selling Watkins in the last sort of narrative that we were talking about. Is that something on your radar?
Possibly. I mean, I think if you look at my... I'm very heavily invested in the front line with Haaland, Solanke and Watkins. I'm very heavily invested at the back with Trent, Saliba and Porro.
Yeah.
I would like to do something about Henderson. Would like to have a bit of money for that. I would like to be able to upgrade some of my... I mean, I brought in McNeil this week. I don't think we need to talk about Everton too much, otherwise we'll be here all night. But I would like to be able to upgrade Harry Winks and have somebody in a kind of more useful position. I've got to eventually deal with Barco, but he'll come on wildcard. But in my mind, I never intended to have Ollie Watkins for this long. I intended to have Ollie Watkins for a couple of weeks and then move. Now, where I move to, is it going to be an interesting conversation? Because I could just come down a little bit and go to Kai Havertz. I could come down significantly and go to someone in the kind of 7.5 bracket, or I could come down massively to Delap. Mm-hmm. And all of those things will depend on what I want to do across the rest of my team, because Kai Havertz won't free up enough money to upgrade upgrade Winks to somebody worth their while. Because Carvalho was an option and I seriously thought about him this week, but Vissa back on the grass put me off because that's an incoming problem, it feels like. And then got benched this week. I know gets the goal. But
yeah.
Ollie Watkins, I'm not convinced that with the run of fixtures that Aston Villa have, and with European football also there, that I want to own both Rodgers and Watkins. I think just having one is okay.
Okay. All right. That's it for the games, guys. One quick thing. One very quick thing. The Buonanotte goal for Leicester.
Oh my god.
We've got to talk about this because we were playing against the general. We're playing against Mark McGettigan, the general, in our sleeper draft of legends this week.
We weren't confident, were we? Because Mark had Salah.
And Mark had Salah. He's got a very good team, Mark, as you'd expect, because he's top manager, right? So, as you'd expect. So, we weren't massively confident. And then we saw the lineups, didn't we? And we were like, oh, who? And you were just like, well, Carvalho's benched. So we were like, right, so we need somebody to come in for Carvalho. So we're looking around all the lineups, and of course we've got 15 different teams, you know, all the decent players are taken. But Buonanotte was there, and I was just like, Leicester home Bournemouth.
And I just went, let's just
do it. And you were like, let's just get Buonanotte.
Second week in a row we've done
it. Pops up, gets the winner, and is a key part of our team that ends up beating Mark McGettigan, the general, this week. So sorry, Mark, but that's a dub for FPL family because of
two wins on the bounce now.
Absolutely.
And Brendan Johnson, who you didn't want us to own, and you moaned in that video. Yeah. The sleeper put out at the beginning. I picked Brendan Johnson. You complained you didn't want him. Timo Werner chipped in for us this week. And actually, as it, like, we have.
Did he?
Yeah.
Werner?
Yeah.
Did he? What did he do then?
He got an assist.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
Sideways pass.
Did he get an assist for Spurs, did he?
Yes!
Can't remember Werner doing anything in that game, but okay, fair enough. But no, Buonanotte, you bringing him in on, like, literally just seeing the team sheet and bringing him in, like, minutes before kickoff, absolutely inspired.
Do you know what?
So I'm loving that.
I will say is that one thing I love about the Sleeper app is that it pings me because I've got my notifications turned on. So it starts pinging you if your player isn't starting so you can go and deal with it. And then I was really carefully watching for, like, what to avoid 1 minute cameos because you can change a player out right up until the moment they walk on the pitch. So I was like, okay, let's move these players around. I'm like fully on it now. I feel like I've really understood in the last couple of weeks how to play the sleeper game.
You're on it. You're properly on it. No doubt about it. The Buonanotte shout was brilliant. Jack Jones says, yes, Werner Lee passed the ball 2 yards to Maddison. I remember. And then Maddison, how that's got through Verbruggen, I have no idea. Absolute howler.
Well, Brennan Johnson and Timo Werner, Spurs basically giving us the win with Buonanotte.
Correct. Go on then, Buonanotte. We should also give a shout out to everyone that's playing Pick'em in the sleeper league.
I've been so poor at this.
How have you got on, dare I ask? For every moment that you're... So you're really good at the sleeper draft.
I'm great at sleeper.
So you're great at draft. You are crap at Pick'em. I'll put it out there. You are crap at Pick'em.
Okay.
How many have you got this week?
All right, I have to admit something here.
Go on.
This week has been really stressful for me for various personal reasons. And that's not an excuse, but it is sort of an excuse. So we're driving home from Sky and I realise I haven't done my Pick'ems. So I realised then that I'm going to not be able to do the Liverpool game. Not only did I then realise that, as the 3 o'clock's kicked off, I realised I've still not done my Pick'ems. So basically, I only have done Pick'ems for four games.
George is saying he's only got four this week.
I've got two.
Duncan is saying I've had a shocker this week.
I've got two.
No one's done well in Pick'em this week.
But I only picked out four fixtures. So actually, I've got a 50% accuracy rate. That's what I'm going with.
Well, look, guys, if you want to head over to... if you want to download the Sleeper app and play Pick'em with us, very, very easy to play in our league. You just pick who you think's going to win. Win, lose or draw. Very, very easy. You haven't got to select the exact scores or anything like that.
No.
Who's going to win? Is it going to be Brighton, Spurs or a draw? Easy. And you do that for the 10 fixtures and you get a mark out of 10 at the end of the week. And if you come first that week for us, if you get, say, an 8 or 9 or even a 10 out of 10, we have had that in some weeks, then you have got a chance of winning a £100 gift voucher from us. We're giving it away. Courtesy of Sleeper, at Sleeper app, at Sleeper Footy on Twitter, X or whatever you want to call it. The guys are sponsoring us. They want to do more with the FPL community. There's no betting. There's no you've got to
Doesn't
pay for
anything.
This. Doesn't cost anything. There's no bloody crypto you've got to buy, any of that crap. This is just a free app. You get in there and you pick your scores every single week and you've got a chance of winning $100 worth of vouchers every single week. And Sam, this week, I was going to say you'll be pleased to hear we haven't got to use the wheel.
I'm
sort of upset. I quite like the wheel. But we haven't got to use it this week. We haven't got to use it because, Sam,
we've got a winner.
This week we have an outright winner. Achillesboy88 has got 9 out of 10. Very good. There's me. I got 5 this week, which is distinctly average. I started off really, really well.
Are you falling apart?
I'm regressing to the mean, let's just say. I wouldn't say falling apart, but I'm regressing to the mean. I'm not down in the twos with you, but I'm in five. Well, is
a 50% win rate, that's like getting five in a normal week.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, I'm in at five this week. Not very good, but Achilles Boy 88 in with the nine. Very, very good. And a shout out to the other five managers that got eight, because still eight scores is very, very good. But Achilles Boy 88, $100 worth of gift voucher is coming your way. I genuinely don't know what gift vouchers we're giving away nowadays, because we had trouble with Kitbag. We're now having trouble with Fanatics. It could just be Amazon, right? I think just tell us what you want and we'll figure it out.
You get $100 of somewhere vouchers. You can probably just tell. Ed will reach out to the winner and you can probably just have a conversation.
So Achilles Boy 88, if you are listening or watching, congratulations. We will, or Ed will be reaching out to you on Sleeper DM and organising £100 worth of gift vouchers, $100, sorry, worth of gift vouchers for you this week. Well
done. Don't forget,
and if you wanna
still get the hospitality at the end if you win the whole
thing. Yeah, just keep playing.
Keep playing. Don't forget, like me. In fact, what I'm going to do this week, I'm on a very long train ride tomorrow. I'm going to pick sleep pick'ems for the next few weeks so that if the worst case scenario happens again, they're already in there. And then what I can do is just log on the mornings and just tweak.
Nice. George,
I think that's better.
George is in. He's saying, do the wheel anyway. George,
no, George, no. Stop encouraging him.
Genuinely no point, George.
George, don't encourage him, please.
Right, let's get on to our scores, Sam, for the week. Let's do yours first. You are on 54, a very, very healthy green arrow. Look at that, up 24%. Get in. So your overall rank now is at 1 million. Just a smidgen over 1 million. Not a bad place to be going into international break now.
This is the highest rank I've been all season.
Love it.
I feel good. The Ohana patrons who listen to our Ohana podcast will tell you that I said on our podcast last week I was really thinking about whether I wildcarded in eight. There was a potential I was looking at my team thinking, oh, I don't know, I feel like I might have things that I want to change. This game we could change that again. Like, I now feel like I was disappointed last week. The Saka captaincy blanking and all of that jazz just upset me a little bit. And I think I was a bit like, ugh, woe is me. Mo is Salah, woe is me. But now I look at my team and I think, I don't think it needs a wild card. I think that there's a few things I would like to change, but nothing major. So we're still back on track now for a game week 12 wild card.
I was going to say, is it even on your radar, wild card?
It's going to be game week 12. I felt like game week 12 has been the earmarked week for me since pre-season, actually. Okay. That's the one I was looking at, thinking that's where I'd like it to be. And it still feels like that's where I'm going to be. There's a potential that over the international break, of course, if there's massive injuries to the, because a lot of these players that I own are going away over on international break, then I might have to look at doing something a bit more radical and maybe a wildcard then. There's a couple of players in there I don't want. Henderson, I can't, but then he got a save point this week, so whatever. Goalkeepers, I kind of feel like, who cares? They're not getting many clean sheets, are they?
No,
I
mean, Pickford, even Raya's not got a couple now.
Pickford hauled this week because he saved a penalty and kept a clean sheet. And Nick Pope got a clean sheet. And then obviously Martinez and Onana today got clean sheets. But I kind of feel like, a bit meh about goalkeepers. All right. Standard Sam behaviour, to be honest.
How are you feeling about the McNeil transfer in? I think you've got to give him a couple of weeks, haven't you?
I said to produce the Mark on the Sky show yesterday morning when we were chatting, and I did it because I didn't even tell you I was doing it. I just did it when I was in the makeup.
Who did you take out? Smith Rowe. Smith Rowe for McNeil was your transfer this week. Okay.
So when I was sitting in the makeup chair, I was like, I don't want to play Smith Rowe against Manchester City. He was benched anyway in the end, so it was a good decision. And I had three choices. One of them was to go to Carvalho, which actually on reflection for that week probably was the right thing, although it looked like the wrong thing when he was benched.
Yeah.
One of them was McNeil, who I didn't love the fixture. It was against Newcastle and I was like, oh, I don't love it. But I do love the Everton fixtures after the Newcastle game. They're really nice for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I felt like he was the one that wouldn't force my hand in a wild card. And then the other one was Semenya, who I liked for last week and this week alone. I don't like him.
Difficult fixtures coming up for Bournemouth.
So I felt like if I went for Carvalho with Vissa back on the grass and Semenya, was guaranteeing a wild card in eight. Whereas if I went for McNeil, it was a bit of a punt for this week with nice fixtures following, particularly with the way that he's been creative. And actually could have got something yesterday in that game. He was creative.
He created one for DCL, didn't he? And I think Pope did well to save it. So,
he did,
yeah.
He could have had something. But there's plenty of scope in the fixtures moving forward. So yeah, I'm happy to have him. Potential -4 maybe though, heading into game week 8.
Okay, thoughts? Go on. Minus four.
Yeah, potentially. I haven't
got one free transfer.
I've got one free transfer. I haven't taken a minus. I haven't taken a hit at all this season. I'm pondering on doing Ollie Watkins down. Ollie Watkins down, and then
how fickle we are.
And then taking Harry Winks up.
Got 11 points last week, Watkins.
I know, but I just think Delap has done really well over the last couple of weeks. So Watkins down to Delap, and then that would allow Winks to go up to Mbomo.
Up to Mbomo. All right, okay. Delap for a hit.
Or might just ignore Mboms again.
And go what?
Brennan Johnson.
Well, I can't put you off the Brennan Johnson pick.
I think I put you on it. I think my love of Brennan Johnson.
So 54 for you this week. 445 points. Up to a million. 24 plus Green Arrow. Happy days. Happy days. You're right. You definitely had an influence over me. Here's my team for this week.
For your whole life.
And you, but you definitely had influence over the Brennan Johnson pick for me. So I did take a hit going into this week. I have to say, it wasn't necessarily mainly for Johnson. I was so scared of not having an Arsenal defender after the sort of Flecken, Raya, absolute BS the week before, which raged me out like you wouldn't believe. The whole kind of Raya's at the hotel, but is he playing, is he not? Did the transfer out to get Flecken, so
which,
gutted. But, you know, we've moved on from that.
Who did you hit out for Gabriel?
Robinson.
Okay.
Robinson. So my transfers coming into this game week were Johnson and Gabriel in and Eze and Robinson out.
That worked.
And it worked, yeah. And I sat here last week. I sat here on this stream last Sunday saying that's probably what I'm going to do. But if I'm going to do it, I would have had to have done Eze to Johnson that Sunday night because I would otherwise, because Eze was going to go down in price. And I did do that. I come off the stream last night, this time last week, and I did that transfer, which was risky as hell. I hated doing it because Spurs had European football. I had a whole ton of other assets playing European football. I just thought, I hate doing the early transfer. But I liked the Johnson in because he's in such good form. And I think now, you know, a lot are going to start thinking about him much more seriously now.
They should.
And I did like the Gabriel in as well. The fact he's got the 2-pointer blows my mind, really, because the Saints, I think coming into this game, we could conceded the most amount of chances from set pieces. I thought the clean sheet was absolutely locked in and it was going to be fine. But in the end, a 2-pointer.
We were both expecting double digits, weren't we?
For sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And so I sort of felt good and bad when the Southampton goal went in, because I'm thinking, okay, well, I've lost my Gabriel clean sheet, but then there are a lot of FPL managers that are in there doubled up. So I thought, well, at least I've not got the double up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm happy. I'm much more comfortable now that I've got an Arsenal defender, so I'm okay with it.
And you've got the right one as well. I think Arsenal defender, you have got the right one.
I think so. And, you know, I wasn't expecting to maybe sit here and be, you know, as happy as I am about having Brennan Johnson in the team. But I'm looking at him now. I was looking at that performance again today, certainly in the first half. The kid's on fire. And he actually could have had one within about 30 seconds of the game starting,
should
if you remember.
Have. Like, yeah, should have.
Werner should... Werner, I mean, seriously, just roll it into his path. You don't need to smack it across the turf like that. But anyway, he definitely could have had more than one Johnson. So I'm very happy to have him. But elsewhere, I think the team is in reasonable shape. Now, I have to keep an eye on this Konsa hamstring thing, because all of a sudden, I've then got João Pedro and Konsa that are a problem, and suddenly my squad's looking a bit thin. So I might have to deal with one of those two. But I think there's loads of places you can go. Like, I mean, Konsa to 8 Nori. Not that I want 8 Nori for next week, but I don't mind it at all. I could happily go to 8
João Pedro to Delap, I get.
Yeah, I could do that as well. But like we've already discussed, there's now suddenly quite a few options in that area, in the João Pedro bracket, right?
So yeah, but you've got no money, have you?
I've got nothing in the bank now. Nothing in the bank. So I do have to think about...
So there's actually not loads of options in the João Pedro bracket. I think if it's João Pedro down, it's Delap.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
There's lots of options for Konsa.
Yeah, there is lots of options for Konsa. So the team as it is, I'll read it out for the podcasters. Flecken in goal with 2. Trent at the back with the 8, which is great. Lewis gets the jammy assist with 4. Gabriel 2. Diogo Jota with the 8. Johnson 7. Mbeumo 8. Saka 16. Rodgers 3. Watkins 2. Haaland 4. So, you know, I think I was a captaincy choice away from an outstanding week. I mean, and I did consider Saka. No, that's why the vice is on him, right? For sure considered Saka throughout the week, but the Haaland fear got me in the end. If it hadn't, I'd have been having an absolute stormer. But as it is, 64, but taking a hit gives me a net 60. 456 points, up to 610k. Same as you, that is the highest I've been so far this season. That's a 45% green arrow. So
nice.
In every given week, that's good. That's absolutely
really good.
We take it. We take it. I was even higher than that at the end of Saturday, actually. So end of Saturday.
Why are you?
Well, I think it was the Liverpool boys, right? The fact that Trent and Jota were the ones to return and all the other Liverpool assets that people have got all blanked, including Robertson, was, and then I had Mbeumo, and then obviously Saka with the 16 as well. Lewis even popped up with that jammy assist. I was in about 300k, something
were
like
you?
That. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So it's only really the Villa boys, like when we were talking about Villa, I said that was why it was painful. So Rodgers and Watkins not
just
producing
anything.
Just
didn't see that one coming at all either.
Just thought they would beat United,
no,
but it
did
feel a little bit after the Lord Mayor show, right? You
it
know,
did.
Coming up against Bayern and I said to you during the
you
week.
You did, to be fair, you did say that.
I said on Ohana, that game will have taken it out of them. And you're saying, no, they'll be hyped. And yeah, sure, you'll be hyped, but you're hyped for the day after. By the time this game rolls around against Man United, the hype's died down a little bit and you're back to, okay, Christ, we've got another difficult Premier League game to play. And they will have been knackered. There's no doubt Bayern a top, top, top side. And that would have taken a lot out of Villa to go and play against Bayern and then, you know, go and play against Manchester United. So, but overall, happy with that. A net 60 up to 610k. So all good. Yeah, all good. All good. In terms of thoughts for next week, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be João Pedro or Konta probably. Got to think about my squad.
One of them's got
I'd
to
love
play.
To roll. Having spent a minus four this week, I would love to start rolling my transfers.
I think you could, because you've got Greaves there.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, absolutely could.
It's not you've got no bench.
No, but it's going to depend on Konta's hamstring, I think. It's going to, you know, if he's out for weeks, and João Pedro's also out for weeks, I've got to decide about that.
Then you might as well deal with it.
Cool. That is pretty much it, Sam. Let's just give a quick shout out to our Patreon community. Many of our patrons, I can see George still in, Webby's here, Duncan's here, a whole host of our patrons are in, and they always join us here on a Sunday night. So guys, thank you for your ongoing support. And if you want to join the FPL family, if you want to join us over on patreon.com/FPL family, you can join us at any one of the three tiers. You can join us at the $3 tier, where you get access to our exclusive Ohana podcast every Thursday. We chuck that out on a Thursday night. You'll also get access to our Slack community, where everybody joins in the Slack. It's like Twitter, but nicer. Is what I would say.
Nobody's an idiot.
No, there's no idiots in our Patreon, whereas on Twitter, just sometimes there is. So if you want to join us in over on Patreon, then we would love to have you over there. We have a Manager of the Month competition as well, if you want to join us at the $5 tier, where you get the podcast, you get the Slack, but then you also get entry into our Manager of the Month competition for only $5 a month. And you get the opportunity, if you are one of the top three highest scoring managers in that month, you'll win a football shirt just for $5. So the top three get a footy shirt, and if you are the top manager, you will also get a $100 voucher courtesy of our friends at Sleeper. And then if you want to go all out, you really want to support the channel, then the $10 tier is there for those that want that extra bit of Sam and Lee in their lives. You can do personalized Zooms with us if you're thinking of a wild card, if you're in just a bit of disarray with your team, you're thinking, I just need a bit of one-to-one advice here, then the $10 tier is the one for you. But all the details over on patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below. And yeah, listen, love to have you along in the FPL family. Sam, tell everyone what is going on this week. We've already mentioned the off the bench with you and Az tomorrow, which I know you're looking forward to.
Can't wait. I love making contact with Az.
What else is going on?
Just a little shout out to the FCAs. I don't think Lee's done a slide for it again. Obviously are nominated for the best in fantasy football content creators award at the FCAs this year. We would be so grateful if you would vote for us. It is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I do want to win a trophy at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium really quite badly.
The above average boys say the same, by the way.
I don't care. I've wanted it longer.
sorry, Adam and Baker.
I don't care that you want it. I want it more. So
love
please,
you,
we love the above average boys. But don't vote for them, vote for us. So if you could go over to the Football Content Awards website, footballcontentawards.co.uk/voting, and then scroll down to the Best in Fantasy Football Content category, find FPL Family in the creators, tick it, vote for us. And then there's also another category, the Best Organisation. Take your pick, either vote Scout or vote for the FPL Pod, whichever one of them is your poisoned... preferred poison, go for that one. But if you could please pick your poison, but if you could please vote for the FPL Family, I really, 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 really want to win a trophy at the Spurs Stadium because it's my home.
Duncan's in, he's saying he's voted for Sam in all the things.
Thank you for voting for me in all the things.
Do you remember?
Last year, you voted for me in all the things and I didn't win anything. So if you could vote for me in all the things on every device you own...
Babani has said voted for you guys on three devices. Thank you.
That is the kind of commitment that we need. If you could all be a bit more Babani, that'd be fantastic.
Be a bit more Babani and vote for us on all your devices. Why all devices? Why is that?
Because you can't vote more than once from one thing.
Oh, it drops a cookie on and has been like, thanks for voting.
But right. You could do it from multiple devices. When you're going to see your mum and dad at the weekend, get their devices, vote on that. If you're at work, just go around everyone's computers and vote on that.
Babani's around all his mates going, right, you've all got three devices.
Thank you so much. So that's that. That's enough of my pitching. But yeah, vote for us.
Georgia's saying, hashtag vote Sam so she can achieve her dream.
Yes.
Duncan is saying, we want the FPL Family but open top bus parade. And AB says, Sam for president.
If we win, I will run up Tottenham High Road with the trophy.
Oh my gosh, right.
In my high heels, and that'll be a feat. But you actually asked the question, what are we doing this week? So I will answer your actual question. Az and I will be on Off the Bench tomorrow morning talking about all things game week 7, but not about Brighton and Spurs. That's not coming up. On Wednesday this week, I am doing a live in-person podcast with Jules and Kelly.
Oh, very nice.
We're back together in the studio on Wednesday to rub it in Jules's face that he didn't have Saka this week. And
I thought he loved Saka, no?
That's why I'm going to be absolutely asking him about that. Because, you know, he is his boy, apparently. That's it then this week. There'll be a Pro Pundit article from me over on Scout as well this week. So keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, we'll then be just back into normal service. I'm not even sure what we're doing about the Q&A this week. Max has got a football match at the time of the Q&A. I need to speak to Az at 6:30 in the morning when we're podding and see when he can do. But we'll update on that later. I'm actually away for the next couple of days. I've got to go and pack now. Going away with the Scout boys. We're going on a little team bonding trip. YI up the tune.
Sounds like a good excuse for a beer up in Newcastle. So thank you guys for joining us.
I get them to vote for me in all the things.
They'll vote for you in all the things. The chat, as you'd expect, has just descended. So George, I'd vote for Sam for Prime Minister in fairness. Wilco is Sam versus Donald Trump. That's the one they all want to see.
Do you think I beat Donald Trump?
Why is it about our patron support? What have we done to them that they just descend into just nonsense constantly? That could be probably the tagline for our patron. Come and join the Slack and just the guff and waffle that goes on in that Slack is absolutely
well. We do. Do you know who causes
ridiculous.
It though? Don't you?
All of them. They're all as bad as each other.
No, do you know who starts it? It's Mr. Lunatic.
Oh, it's
Wilco.
Nigel's...
No, that's Wilco's name. Wilco. Mr. Lunatic. He's called Mr. Lunatic.
Well, him and Si are both.
Oh, Simon's a nutcase. Love you all.
We love you all. Yes, we love you all. Despite
for me
calling
all the
nutcases
things.
Randomly all the time. Don't know why you put up with us. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. Leave us a like before you go. All that good stuff. If you enjoyed the stream, then yes, hit that subscribe button and we will see you in a couple of weeks, I guess. Week off next week for international break.
Oh, yeah, but we will do an Ask Us Anything for the patrons.
We'll do an Ask Us Anything for the patrons. But for this live stream, we'll be back in a couple of weeks when we will be discussing what's happened in game week 8. Well done in game week 7. Leave us a like and we'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everybody.